everybody, into another edition of the PHNX Suns VIP Lounge. That is right. Brought to you by our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. I am your host, Greg Esposito. Ahoy, hoy. Joined as always, well, most of the time, by the one and only Saul Bookman. Saul, we're solo on this endeavor this evening. We don't count Jacob behind the Mac tonight.
Rude.
That's the Phoenix Suns take care of business in New Orleans as they hand the Pelicans the loss, 123-110 tonight. How are you, my man?
I got a headache.
Oh, you can go. I got this.
No,
yeah. I mean, everybody else has left, so
don't tease me with a good time.
I'll just talk to the people.
What is Perplex talking about? Mikal Bridges only played defense tonight. I'm like, did I miss something? Like, I swore he hit a three. Perplex said he only had 2 points, and I was like, what?
23 points.
I'm like, what? Yeah. What are we talking about today?
Apparently, Perplex only watched 2 minutes of this game. And,
gotcha. So,
I can't imagine who would do that. So, anyways, a big night for the Suns. Devin Booker leading the way with 33 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. But I feel like the story of this game came down to the big men tonight. It sounds a little weird because you look at it and you see, you know, the scoring wasn't there. But Jalen Smith, big first quarter, helped the Suns take a big lead then, and then Bismack Biyombo in the fourth quarter helping the Suns take take what was down to a 2-point lead and stretch it to that final 13-point victory. I'm impressed with what Smith and Biyombo have been able to do, filling in in Biyombo's case only in the second game with the team.
I mean, yeah, Biyombo's a vet. He knows how to play the game at a high level. But yeah, I think even this is kind of exceeding my expectations of what he's gonna bring once he joined the Suns. Like he's been very good. He's been very good. He's been solid for sure. And tonight, I mean, when he goes up like he does not mess around.
Afraid. He's not afraid of no man.
Not even a little bit.
Listen to the stat line. This is insane for a guy. 16 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals, 5 personal fouls. That's filling a box score if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens when DA and JaVale come back, because now it's like they just went from 2 bigs to 4. And –
well, and that's – Frank still may come back in the near future too, so you're looking at 5 potential big men.
I think Frank has played his last days as a Son after this.
The dude dropped 31 earlier in the year. Like, yeah. I don't think they're just going to be like, yeah. We're going to cut you now.
Well, I mean, what did you do after that though?
Got hurt.
No, he played a couple games, then he got hurt.
Like,
he had like 31 combined points for the next couple games.
He had a hell of a stretch there, though. Look.
Oh, yeah, he did. Kaminsky Cove was on fire, and now it has burned down.
Okay, but this brings me to a question that we'll talk about throughout the evening. Actually, we'll hold it. Let's talk a little bit more about the game, then we'll get into that question.
I just want to fight somebody today. That's all that is.
So. We will fight Mr. I Don't Like Cheese. Don't worry. We'll get there. We will get there.
It's not a hot take.
It's a very hot take and not a good one at that. But another all-around team performance. You look at it, 6 guys in double figures, all 5 starters getting into double figures. A hell of a shooting night as well overall for the Suns team. But in particular for Mikal Bridges, who winds up shooting 9 of 13 tonight for 23 points, 5 of 9 from beyond the arc. He had it going on. And then his front court mate in Cam Johnson, also 18 points, 5 of 7 from beyond the arc. He adds in 6 rebounds. I mean, that's 20 straight games that Cam Johnson has 2 or more 3s. He's found his groove offensively. If it weren't for foul trouble with Devin Booker in this game and Jalen Smith to a lesser extent, this probably would have been a wire-to-wire blowout, but when he had to sit Book, when he was feeling that rhythm, it gave New Orleans a chance to kind of cut that lead. But this is what you like to see, that the offense clicking on all cylinders for this team, and again, unselfish basketball.
Yes. Listen, this team, even when they cut it to two, I know people were like, oh my God, what is going on? You know, I was just like, dude, you got Devin Booker and Chris Paul. I mean,
and Bismack Biyombo.
It's
going
to be all right. Yeah. But who passed him the ball? It was Chris Paul. Like, it's going to be all right. And this team is just, listen, when they're starting to prove that even when their back is against the wall or it feels like a run is against them, they know how to answer the bell. Yeah. They've done it all season. That's why they're one of the best teams in the NBA. Some would argue the best team in the NBA.
The best team in the NBA.
And, yeah.
Well, you mentioned Chris Paul and passing the rock.
Mm-hmm.
15 assists tonight, 16 the other night, 31 in the last two games combined. Yes, I can do the math. He had moved into the lead in assists per game. He'll keep that with 15. I mean, we started to worry, oh, is age catching up to him? And all of a sudden, he's back to his ways, just dropping the rock, you know, to his teammates. Not an awful shooting night, 5 of 11 at 11 points, but didn't have to do much because he was setting up his teammates.
I mean, that's what he does. That's what he's basically done the entire time with the Suns. Every now and then you get that Chris Paul scoring game, but he's usually trying to defer to his teammates to try and get them more into the groove, and it usually works. So, you know, a good, solid Chris Paul performance. There you go.
Yeah, a prototypical kind of Chris Paul performance. By the way, hello. I will shout out the Phoenix Suns are the best team in the NBA as much as I want. It's not Suns in four when it's factually true, all right? I'm not guessing. I'm telling a fact about the standings. So, I will do as I please.
Really yell that one out. You kind of half-assed that, to be honest with you.
The Phoenix Suns are the best team in the NBA. We had Jacob riding the levels there, which I love. MCG Blue has a question for you, Saul. What do you hate more, McHale's highlighter yellow sneaks or Elf's neon green sneaks?
Neon green doesn't go with anything, so definitely the neon green ones.
And it's Elfrid Payton wearing them, so yeah, true. You can't hate on McHale there. MCG Blue. Boom, there you go, Espo. Shout it out, bro. Damn straight, my friend. Damn straight. Brendan King. Bismack should be an all-star. I think we're overreacting a slight bit to two games there. Why don't we go to the bar? I feel like it's a night we could use a drink. So
sure, yeah.
You and I in particular.
I wish I had one.
Tonight, it's Bridges Bourbon because we spent an evening.
Oh, we got
a bourbon
glass on there.
We do. Look at that.
When we have the actual head of production in tow, we actually get freaking elements that work.
I got to shout out Shane because he put that one in the Dropbox for me, but he set me up for success there.
Man, you stick it to Shane, and then he's the one that actually did it.
Yeah.
Way to go. So, look, a night on Bourbon Street can be difficult. It can be a little all over the place. Can be chaotic, very much like this game. Have you ever been to Bourbon Street, Saul?
I have. Funny story. The first time I went to Bourbon Street, I walked down an alley to get to Bourbon Street. And then once I got to Bourbon Street, some guy was literally shitting on the curb. And that was my introduction to Bourbon Street.
That was... also kind of the third quarter in this game, but look, that is basically Bourbon Street
sitting on the curb
for you. I mean, honestly, that is a hurricane is one of the strongest drinks you will ever have on Bourbon Street.
Is that the one where you hang it around your neck?
That's the one that looks like a gallon tub and it's just like 14 hard alcohols in it. So Espo looks like Wayne Knight from Space Jam. All right. Thank you in that comment.
Is that the guy that got spit on by the dinosaur?
I think it's Newman. It's Newman from Seinfeld.
The one from Jurassic Park.
So, yeah.
Actually, when you shout out the Phoenix Suns are the best team in the league, that's exactly who you sound like.
Anyways, let's go to our king of the night as well. And there's only one man that deserves this. I mean, there's a lot of guys that played well, but Devin Armani Booker dropping the 33 with the 9 rebounds, 4 assists. It was a quintessential book game. Shooting well from deep. It was just what we've come to love from him. He was averaging 28 and a half coming into this game, so he exceeds that. And I believe he scored Four of his last five games, he's had 30 points or more. So Devin Booker playing spectacular out there. And we want to remind you, if you want to play spectacular, play some spectacular bets, our friends over at DraftKings can help you do just that. As we've hit the final week in the pro football regular season.
The final week. Thank goodness.
Yeah. It feels like it's a 62-week NFL season this year. We're also heading into the college football national championship game. So there's that as well. DraftKings Sportsbook has an unbelievable offer to get all of you fans in on the action for this exciting time on the football calendar. New customers can bet just $5.
$5?
$5.
$5.
$5.
Oh, look at that.
I don't know who's on that. Is that a Lincoln on there? I don't know what's on. I don't know who's on the five, but you can bet one of those.
You can put five on it.
On any,
who's saying that?
I got five on it. I don't know who sings it.
Loonies, baby.
All right. Well, Loonies. I know
at least
reference.
I know the song.
I know the song. I'm terrible with the
the harmony
names,
was a little off, but that's all right.
That is perpetually what I sing. So $5, you can put five on it on any football team to win their game. And if they do, you are going to get 200. In free bets, $200 in free bets.
This is cringy.
Wind down the season with a big. That is the tagline for this show. It's cringy. So wind down the season with a big win. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also bet on football with same game parlays where you can combine multiple bets into one bigger payout. I thought I hit on a big one and realized I did not choose the guy I thought I had in the parlay. And lost by a leg.
Finish that sentence.
It sucked. I thought I won $600, and I went in there, and I had not won $600. But I'd only put 10 down, and that's the beauty of a same game parlay. Put a little down, and you can get a big scratch in return. The best part: DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable.
Why do they call it scratch again? You said why they call it scratch, didn't you?
I don't remember. I think I'll try to remember. Okay. Jeez, put me on the spot with this. Yeah. You got to scratch that itch and get some cash, you know, in there. So you can download DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code PHNX. And again, put five on it, get 200 out of it. If the team you bet on in any football game, college or pro, wins, that's the promo code PHNX. What are we doing over here? Do I want to know? I don't want to know.
Manny C, why does Espo always get winded reading the DraftKings spots?
That's promo code PHNX this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Remember, 21 and over, Arizona only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-A. It's back. 1-800-NEXT-STEP. New customers only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
Maybe Max put in like somebody else's phone number.
Maybe we were directing them to the wrong place if they had a gambling problem before.
Oh my gosh! So let's actually address a few things in the chat. Okay, today's been a very long day, and we needed the juice, and the juice left the building earlier today. Lindsay had to leave.
Wait, so Lindsay's the juice?
She is. She's the only one that hasn't been working all day. She's been chilling.
Oh, this is true.
Yeah, she came in. She gave us a little juice. She started up a little fight, and then she took off. That was it. And so, we're not tired or anything like that. Maybe we are talking slow, according to Manny. Today he's like, man,
why would
he's like,
you
usually I watch you guys
that?
On replay and you guys are just so slow. And then somebody asked if we were high. No, I wish.
Yeah,
but no.
We need that dispensary sponsor so we can be high here in the VIP.
There you go.
Lounge.
Come on, Soul.
Hit us up. I think it was Hello said, if you have an itch, please see a doctor. So yeah. we will see what we can do. Derek, Espo doesn't sound anything like Newman. He sounds more like Lindsay from Princess Plum. Inconceivable! Yeah. So here we go. This is just a weird show. So I'm just going to get into the topic.
Let's do it.
This game, a fun one. They get the W. All great and everything. But it got me wondering, right? We talk about it. At one point this season, Frank Kaminsky playing center. Drops 31. Mm-hmm. We have Bismack Biyombo stuffing the stat sheet in game two. We've seen Jalen Smith in the starting role flourish offensively. Is this system simply set up for big men to succeed on the offensive end of the floor?
No, it's built for everybody to succeed on the offensive side of the ball.
But it just seems to me, when you look at it, that any they're plugging.
A good system allows any player on the offensive side of the ball to thrive if they have a good night. The thing is that it's also predicated on the players and the matchups. The Pelicans are not worried about Bismack Biyombo. They definitely would have been more concerned about DeAndre Ayton than they were Bismack, because they would have tried to cut off those, you know, those nice little dimes that Chris Paul was making. And then obviously when you're talking about I was going to say Coach K. Jesus. Frank Kaminsky, he's a different kind of center. He likes to play more on the perimeter. He gets some opportunities, but I don't think the system in itself is built to make opportunities for the bigs any easier than Book coming off a screen. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what the fuck I'm saying.
I get where you're coming from, but for me, and Doug in the chat, Doug Allen in the chat makes a good point. He says Chris Paul makes every center look good.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw this effect with Steve Nash back in the day too. He made Stephen Hunter and Marcin Gortat and guys like that get paydays because of his ability to set them up. But for me, it feels like, yes, you can plug and play any big man and they can put up some numbers here. You're going to get rebounds because, especially with Jay Crowder out, there's not a lot of people who have rebounding ability on this roster right now, right? Yeah. You're not a lot of bigs that are crashing the board. So rebounds are going to come to whoever's playing that center spot. Then you look at it, and to me, offensively, when you have a team that shoots a lot, there's going to be second chance opportunities. When you've got Chris Paul and Devin Booker, there's going to be rolling the basket opportunities, pick and roll opportunities. So offensively, yes, there is a lot of chance for big men to score, but I don't think this diminishes. A lot of people are using this to say it diminishes DeAndre Ayton's status with this team. And what I feel like they forget is the other half of the court. This system isn't built to make centers look better defensively. And we've seen that. There's been times throughout this stretch without DA that they've struggled in the middle defensively. So I don't feel like that is there's two parts to this equation. And sure, offensively, some of these bigs are going to get their looks. There's going to be dunks because of just the way that Chris Paul and Devin Booker set guys up. But I do not feel like that diminishes what DeAndre Ayton's been able to do. And I feel like that's where people are trying to take this argument that anybody can be plugged in there and they'll be as successful as DeAndre Ayton and this team will be as successful as when they have DA. But it's just not the case on the defensive end of
the Is that the argument we're making here?
I've seen people make that argument based off of this.
Listen, I'm not going to get into, you know, that QAnon bullshit. I'm not going to get into that.
I believe that was DA Anon.
Yeah, DA Anon. I'm not getting into that bullshit. Like, we've seen what DA can do. Like, if you're not a believer in DA by now, and you think JaVale McGee is the answer to all things that ill Suns centerdom, then you are absolutely out of your freaking mind. Like, seriously? Like, we're really going to sit here and try to say that Bismack Biyombo is every bit as good as DA in this system? That freaking Jalen Smith, and I've been on Jalen Smith's side for the last 2 weeks, but that he's actually going to be able to contribute as much, if not more, than DeAndre Ayton in total. And that JaVale McGee is not going to trip over himself 45 times a game in an effort to catch one alley-oop dunk that's going to make you shit yourself. Like, that's the hill we want to die on today? Come on, man.
Look, man.
Like, I was asleep for, like, the last 15 minutes. You know, you woke me up now. I'm here. Let's go.
But this is what we... This is the reality of the DA situation. That people just want to go, oh, look. Hey, Bismack Biyombo could score 16 points, but you don't look at the totality.
If DA left this franchise, the Suns would not be as good for at least 5 years.
I don't. They suffer. You can see it in these games.
I know.
I mean,
oh my gosh! It just makes me so upset when people think that DA is just some simpleton that's playing this position. But the only reason why he's good is because he's been getting a lot of minutes or something stupid. It's like, He is just, he's just good. And nobody wants to give him any love. I don't understand it. Not nobody. Some of you guys do, obviously. But I don't understand why people continuously want to say, well, but. It's like saying, like, oh, Chris Paul came into the fold. He can score. We don't need Devin Booker. Like, what? No. That's not how this works.
I agree. Derek, lazy is what it is.
Derek
in the chat says, Sun System seems to be really give the big man a setup for high rebounding, but more so offensive rebounding, which Ayton really shines with picking up trash for easy buckets. And I think that's fair because it's a high volume shooting. It sets guys up, and that's why DA doesn't need plays run for him because he is getting those buckets and there's rules. Manny saying DA plays lazy. I hate this. No, I hate no, this. This no. False narrative.
That's such a lazy take this year.
I'm not gonna put it.
It's also such a lazy take if you even watch the playoffs. He doesn't play lazy. He absolutely doesn't play lazy. He's been busting his ass all season. I don't understand why anybody would watch him and be next to him or watch him courtside and say, oh, yeah, that guy doesn't play hard. Like, what?
Yeah.
This isn't airplane where some stupid-ass kid is coming into the cockpit talking about you only play hard during the playoffs. No. My man has been busting his ass all season. People wanted him to dunk more because apparently that means you're aggressive. And he's been doing it. And now it's, oh, well, he's still lazy and he still does that. Like, how long are people going to hold that against DA? Enough with this, you know, this trashing DA stuff. I will not stand for it here ever. Ever!
I agree. And it is frustrating. I do like, however, though, that guys like Bismack Biyombo and Jalen Smith and JaVale, when he was in before health and safety protocols, is taking advantage of their opportunity, are going in there and showing that you have capable backups, because that was the downfall of the Suns in the playoffs. They had nobody after DA from a big man perspective. Now you have a plethora of it, and I'm fine if you keep both Jalen Smith and Bismack Biyombo on this roster, even if they don't play, as a break glass in case of emergency. And then you look at Frank, he's a different kind of big that you can facilitate through. It gives Monty options. And that's what I want to see, is Monty Williams having multiple options he can turn to.
This is where I think about the backup centers. Like, I only think of basically two teams when I think of backup centers. Three teams. Let me take that back. I think about the Warriors, I think about the Nets, and I think about the Bucks. Those are the three teams that I feel like stand in the way of the Suns winning an NBA championship. And only those three teams. I don't care about anybody else. DA, you're going to need to show up big in the playoffs against the Warriors. That's just a fact. Because the Warriors are the best team in the NBA right now. They've played at a very high level, and they're getting a key piece back, which we don't know which way that's going to go, right?
No.
Everybody's kind of like wondering what's that. And the rumor is he might play on Sunday. Anyway, and then you got to think about the backup bigs. Let's say they had a rematch with the Bucks in the finals. Okay, DA gets into foul trouble. Who do you want to back him up? You have two legitimate centers now. And I'm going to throw Bismack in there before I throw in Jalen because of the actual physical space that he occupies. Mm-hmm. Bismack is a very strong guy. He seems very strong. And JaVale, very lanky. That's going to give problems to the one, the only, Giannis, from getting all the way to the back basket the way he was in the finals. Because once DA came out, Frank Kaminsky wasn't saving anything. Absolutely anything. No. So I'm just saying, like, DA is just such a vital part of this. And he's so flexible because he matches up well against big teams like the Bucks and small teams like the Warriors. He just needs to show up on the offensive side of the ball more against those pesky little San Franciscans.
And he still deserves the bag. I don't think any of this changes it. I don't understand that argument that I've seen online that somehow the fact that Jalen Smith and Bismack Biyombo have been able to play well in his absence somehow makes it where he doesn't deserve the max. We got to stop that. Like, it should just be pencil that guy in for his money. Let's move on with that shit. I don't need to hear that anymore. But it also, what happens now is if you sign Bismack Biyombo for the rest of the season, which it looks like they should, I mean, it seems like they likely will. Your roster flexibility is a little different. That's your final roster spot there. So that means the only way you're going to add anybody else is cutting somebody, which you can't do with Ish Wainwright. That's a two-way, so you can't use that spot. So you'd have to be looking at, are we trading somebody? Do you consider cutting one of these guys, an Abdel Nader or Frank Kaminsky, if somebody comes open on the buyout market that you're more interested in? But you know what's nice about this is these are the kind of these are first world basketball problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are things that, you know, when you have 28 wins, 29 wins in your first handful of games in your first 37, you can think about these things.
Yeah,
these
yeah.
become chess moves that you have to worry about. And I like to be in that position. I'd rather be going, oh, this guy's in the buyout market, who do we have to get rid of, than going, oh, well, we've got this open spot and we're not going to do anything with it. Or worse, crap, we have all these holes, major holes to fill. How are we going to pull this off?
Yeah, listen, John Humble says it perfectly in the chat. I love what we have moving forward. This is the roster we should roll with. I basically feel like that right now. Like, I feel really good about this team. And if they do have to make a move, I feel confident in James Jones making a move that makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, the only team that James Jones feels like he needs to navigate around in order to make a move, I guarantee you, is the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. It's not Milwaukee. It's not the Brooklyn Nets. It's the Golden State Warriors, because I'm telling you, that's the only team that stands in the way of the Suns returning back to the finals this year.
Well, and I'd argue you're on equal footing there, and that even if you don't make a move, that's a seven-game battle if you face them in the playoffs. That's a coin flip, right? That's how good these two teams are. But the problem is the Warriors are better positioned to go big game hunting. They have young capital they can deal. Mm-hmm. They still have some draft picks if they so choose to move those. That could change the dynamic of all of this in the next 6 weeks. Is does Golden State push the chips to the center of the table and go, that's the guy, whoever it may be, whatever big name, that's the guy we're going after. That's how we're going to win the West. And then how do you counter that as the Suns and James Jones? That's what I wonder about it.
I mean, schematically speaking, that's what makes this so fascinating, is that those two teams can beat you in a myriad of different ways. Yes. So how would they match up? When you watch tonight and you see the flexibility that the Suns have, they can beat you inside. They beat you from the perimeter. They can do everything. The Warriors are largely a perimeter-based team, but they will absolutely out-execute you if you are not ready to go on backdoor cuts. Mm-hmm. And we saw that in the last game on Christmas Day. So there's just so many factors out there for both of these teams. And you're right, the draft capital kind of scares me about the Warriors' flexibility to be able to do some things. But again, if you just make a few smart moves, sometimes, you know, the Warriors making a big move doesn't necessarily pay out, because you kind of ruin chemistry. Because maybe if you go out after another ball dominant person, that's not going to work. You got to find somebody who's going to be a very, very good team player. There's not a lot of those types of dudes out there that can be as effective as the Warriors would need to be in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, Warriors can try to play fantasy basketball if they so choose, but James Jones is going to have to play money ball. He's going to have to play smart and add those pieces around the fringe, but that's where he's proven to be at his best. So I feel comfortable with being in that position. Black King in the chat says, I don't understand why the Suns don't play Jaylen. Imagine Jaylen and DA playing together. It would be insane and will improve our rebounding. And that's good when you have the Suns when you see the Suns are being out rebounded. Those two guys don't work together. They
Why?
Play the same position.
No, they don't.
Jalen Smith is not a power forward.
Jalen Smith is not a center.
Jalen Smith is, then he's a tweener, because he's not a power forward.
He's been a tweener this whole
when
time.
When he plays power forward, he gets shoved in a corner. He's not effective. The only time we've seen him be effective is when he's played center minutes. I don't think you can play these two guys together. That's the problem here. James Jones initially thought you would be able to. That's why he drafted him. And then they got a closer look and they went, nah, this isn't going to work. Jalen Smith seems like he needs to be operating strictly in that paint and then can stretch from time to time to shoot that three. But that's the space DA needs to operate.
We're thinking about what, 3-4 minutes a game, maybe. Maybe 3-4 minutes a half. Like, I don't see the problem with trying to experiment with something like that, especially if you have two bigs that can be flexible. You know, because DA can hit the elbow jumper. He's not really the 3-point shooter we would like him to be yet. Jalen Smith can hit the perimeter shot. He hit a couple threes tonight. You know, so I don't mind experimenting with it and see if that's something you might want to go back to the well on down the road. There's nothing wrong with trying that out. I think the misconception is that they're both centers. And I think there's one thing to be 7 foot tall and be a center, and there's one thing to actually be a center. And I've seen plenty of guys in the NBA that were 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", that played more like a center because they were able to hog up a lot of space, take up a lot of room, than a Jalen Smith who, yeah, the height and the numbers match up to being a center, but in reality, like his play, his size lends himself more to be a stretch four than he is a center.
I don't see it. We've seen him try to play that position, and it has not worked. The only time we've seen him play well is at the five, and that's the eye test leads me to believe that that's the position he plays. And if you put him next to DA, he's just not going to be as effective. So
how do you know that though? You haven't seen
him yet. Because they've played him minutes at the four, and he's not effective because he winds up sitting in the corner and staying around the perimeter. And if that's what you have Jalen Smith doing, bro, I'd much rather have Cam Johnson or Mikal Bridges or Jay Crowder out there.
You've seen him play the four for what, a minute a game? Like, he was barely getting any run until DA left.
I'm just telling you, I'd rather those minutes go to Jay, Mikal, and Cam. Why even mess with it when you know those guys can get the job done? Speaking of Cam Johnson, Brittany Price in the chat, Crazy said, Cam Johnson creeping up to be my second favorite player. So easy to root for. What do you mean they don't play the four?
He's not
a four. Cam Johnson started at the four tonight.
That doesn't mean he's a four, though.
If he's playing the position, why isn't he a four?
You could play three small forwards and not have one be designated as a power forward, especially when you're talking about switching.
Okay, fine.
Jesus Christ, this isn't the 1980s.
Positionless basketball, then. I'd rather have Mikal, Cam, or Jay out there.
So if it's positionless basketball, why not put Jalen Smith out there and see how it goes?
Because it's the same space that he and DA need to operate in.
No.
It's nice for you to be so wrong and yet so passionate about it.
I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've seen this. I played this. Like, I know what the fuck this is.
You've been a 6'10 guy
I've seen other 6'10 dudes hold their weight down
so
low as a center.
I was paid for five years to watch 82 games of basketball.
Just as good as anybody else, so it doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you be able to interchange Cam and Mikal more than you could even try to experiment with Jalen?
Because
if you have two bigs and you can interchange them down low or at the perimeter, why not try to see if that works? Because that might be the one thing you can expose the Warriors with.
Are you gonna put DA out on the perimeter?
You can put him on the elbow. The high-low can work.
Then you're just taking DA out of the position that he succeeds in. I just don't see the two of them working. I don't see it.
So in your estimation, we got to have four fucking guys on the goddamn bench that all play the same position, and only one of them can be on the court at one time after another.
No, I actually think you need to trade Jalen Smith still. Take it and add a player. I don't see Jalen Smith playing the four. You know, until we see it, that's fine.
But he is a four.
Is he?
Yes.
He's playing center.
Good for
him.
He's
playing five.
Fantastic.
And he's kicking ass
Tell me if he's playing the five when JaVale and DA come back. Then I'll say, okay, he's a five. He won't be.
Tim from Phoenix says, see what happens when Lindsay isn't on? Yeah, shit gets entertaining. Like,
we won the basketball game tonight.
Shut up, Jacob.
Jacob, nobody asked you, all right?
I just hate this preconceived notion that every NBA player has to fit one mold. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I think his skill set fits that.
Absolutely dictates that he's a four. He's not a banger down low. He gets abused by bigger guys. How would he be a five?
I think we both agree he's a tweener. He's not really right for either position, which is the problem. Thank you.
But you're more right than I am on that.
Well, no. I think we're equally wrong right now is really what it comes down to. Jesse says, Sticks is interesting at four, but my biggest hesitation is his 3-point shooting. He's under 20% in his NBA career, granted small sample size, but need to be much improved to play the four. I mean, he showed tonight that he can step back and,
Jesse,
and hit him.
How did Ketel Marte do this year, okay? Go somewhere else.
Was that Jesse Friedman?
Yes, Jesse Friedman.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even. Yeah.
You just moved along like he wasn't even part of our PHNX network.
Sorry, Jesse. I'm just reading right now. Long John Silver 85. Now Saul isn't spitting facts. Chico Espo doubting sticks after five straight good games. Whack. I said he's playing good at center. That's not doubting him. Saul, I heard Espo hates friends. Get him, Krabs Popcorn. All right. Look.
Okay. The Suns won tonight. That's something we can all agree
we
on.
Math does dictate. Oh, hey. It's the VIP lounge. We forgot that.
The Jacob going rogue on this show.
Oh, did you see him in the chat? He's telling people he'll take this stream down at any point he wants. So. The power has gone to his head. Yeah. But yeah, your Phoenix Suns win 123-110 over the New Orleans Pelicans with a odd combination of heroes tonight. Devin Booker, 33 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Bismack Biyombo fills the stat sheet. Everybody got a little...
McBlue, but Jay is a strong dude. And that's the thing. Like, he doesn't have to be a banger, but he has to hold his own physically against other fours or fives even, and Jay can do that at a much better clip than Jalen Smith can. Just letting you know that.
So you just admitted that Jalen Smith shouldn't play four because he was talking about playing four too there.
I'm talking about being a banger. Like Jay isn't a banger, which I would kind of disagree with.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he's predicated.
Yeah, and so like, yeah, no, I think Jalen Smith is a tweener compared to Jay.
Yeah, okay. We agree on that. All right, we're in the same spot there. So final thoughts on the evening. Non-big man center position. So, by the way, how refreshing is it to be arguing that there's too much talent at the center spot in Phoenix? Something we never imagined we ever would be saying in this town.
No one missed Shamet tonight. You're damn right nobody missed him. He's probably watching this show right now. Well, I'm probably giving ourselves way too much credit. But if he was watching this, Landry, you got to step your game up. That's all I'm going to say.
Nobody missed Shamet tonight. Definitely not the Suns. They had six guys.
Just when he finally had a good game.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah. Well, look, the Suns tonight, we didn't touch on this. This is crazy. The Suns shot 17 of 31 from deep. They shot 54.8% from beyond the arc. That's effectiveness right there. That's effective. And that's with, a couple guys going 0-for from behind the arc. So, but that's the difference here.
Tim from Phoenix, Jay Jackson airballing his first three gave me bad flashbacks. For a second there, he's right. For a second there, I was like, wait, Josh Jackson was out there? Oh, wait, yeah.
Nope, just another Jackson.
Justin Jackson.
Manny C says, and Espo should ask, so, oh, yeah? You ever play one-on-one with Book?
This is true.
You ever catch lobs from an NBA All-Star?
My bad.
No.
My
All bad. Right? We don't have My to bad. Say what it was like, so... So final thoughts for me is just simply, this, and you made this point earlier, Saul, but when this team can win in any way, it doesn't matter at what point things look, a little questionable. New Orleans cut this to a 2-point game in the fourth, and yet it comes at you from every direction. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It could be Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, Bismack Biyombo. It does not matter. They find a way to do it, and I love that about this team. And I'm also glad that Chris Paul back dishing that rock to everybody.
Yeah, no, I like again. This is all a process. Oh man, we're finally in the second part of the year. Well, we'll soon be in the second part of the year. And it always felt like once we got to January, especially after the football playoffs are over, that's when the NBA season like really took off. That's when the eyes will be on it. And this team is just trying to find its groove. Is trying to find, trying to finesse and fine tune some things, because the stretch is probably going to be as important as it ever has been. It's going to be similar to last year, to be honest, with the Jazz and Suns kind of neck and neck for that number one seed. And this year, I think the number one seed absolutely makes a big difference because the Warriors are a very strong team at home compared to the road. And I'm just dead set that that's going to be the Western Conference Finals and nobody can change my mind.
The Jazz may be in there to try to muck up that, who's one and two, but come playoff time, they've never proven it. We have not seen this group prove it. So until they do, I'm not concerned with them in the playoffs. This is going to be an interesting stretch run. We're a few days away from seeing those first returns on All-Star votes too, which will spark all sorts of debates when we inevitably see somehow Klay Thompson has more votes than Devin Booker or some stupid shit like that. So we'll have plenty to talk about. Tomorrow's show going to be audio only. You can find that wherever you get podcasts. So search for that. Don't forget to hit the like button, subscribe and rate and review any of our shows. And also head over to gophnx.com. You can sign up for one of our memberships. If you sign up for the annual, you're going to get a free t-shirt with that. If you sign up month to month, you get that first month for 50 cents. And then also head over to the PHNX locker. We've got fantastic merch, some really cool shirts and sticker packs that will blow your mind. You can actually see here. I'll show here's some of the stickers on the laptop if you're watching on the YouTube channel. So you can follow him on social on Twitter at Saul_Bookman. The underscore is there because we don't know if he's a 4 or 5. So it's somewhere in between, much like the underscore.
A stretch two.
I'm just stretched out. I'm much wider than I used to be. You can follow me at Espo. You can follow the show at PHNX_Suns.
Because of all the rage I felt earlier.
Thought you were just high. I didn't know. No, I'm not going to tell you how to follow Jacob because he doesn't deserve it. But thanks for producing anyways, Jacob. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
And this broadcast right now.
Until then, ahoy hoy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.